This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the IDN Guidelines Working Group meeting on 22nd of March 2018. In the call, we have Dennis, Carl, Max, Satish, and Bettina. Over to you, Max.
Thank you. Yes. So, Carl, please. You have something. Please explain.
Thank you, Matt. I spoke to Kim Davies from IANA while I'm here at IETF, and he said that from their perspective, submission format is something that they're more than happy to manage themselves. So they think it's an operational detail that they can deal with entirely within their own systems. And if someone were to submit an IDN table using the older formats, then they would be able to transform that to the 7940 format. And he felt that that was entirely within IANA's capability and something that they could take responsibility for, and we didn't need to obligate registry operators to submit using one format or another.
I'm surprised that he says that, because the text tables are underdefined, which means that to do this transformation from a text table to an LGR table, you need additional information, and there's no defined format for that additional information, which means that you need to read prose and interpret that prose and encode that into the LGR. So I'm really surprised that he presented in that way.
Yes, so bearing in mind that he's one of the authors of the format, so he's well aware of the, I guess, the limitations of the old formats and translating that to the new format. I guess there's a couple of things that, and I don't wish to speak for him, and he has offered to participate in a call if we'd like him to confirm this, so perhaps we should. But the conversation that we had was that they already have back and forth with registry operators anyway. So the need to clarify details is not going to be any more burdensome than it is today. And for most tables, if they are just the two column format, there's actually not much to add to the LGR. So that part of submission is something that he felt that IANA could take complete responsibility for, regardless of the actual challenges of the transformation.
Well, again, I have personally interpreted a lot of the tables for the new GTLDs as working for the PDT program. And interpreting is definitely not a mechanical process for many tables. For many tables, it's very simple, because it's just a set of characters and one contextual rule or contextual rule for one character, i.e. the dash. Otherwise, there are no contextual rules, and no variants at all. So for most tables, it's quite simple. But for many tables, it's definitely not simple. I see a big risk that things are interpreted in the wrong way. So it's not clear.
I think it's important to note that these guidelines are not here to make life easy for either PDT or IANA. So if IANA takes on that responsibility, whether or not it's burdensome on them is actually outside the scope of the guidelines. And according to Kim, who's now the president of IANA, he doesn't feel that it will be burdensome. So that being the case, and given that it's a more an operational issue for him, I think we should take him at his word. There's no need for us to second guess him and adapt the guidelines just to make sure that he has a streamlined process.
Then we should state in the guidelines that they should be published in the LGR format in the IANA repository. But secondly,
these guidelines don't cover IANA though, so we can't hold IANA to any obligation. So bear that in mind. This is only in guidelines that cover registry operators, and IANA's contracts, in fact the repository of IDN practices falls outside of all of IANA's contracts. It's not covered by the protocol registries, and it's not covered by the naming contract either. So the particular service that they provide in this instance is something that pretty much falls outside of the scope of every obligation they have. So we would struggle to put in any kind of restrictions on IANA's publication in these guidelines. They simply wouldn't be enforceable.
Yeah. So since we consider this to be an important step, then we should still have the obligations of the registries to publish it in the IANA database in the LGR format. If that is solved by IANA or by the registry, that's outside the scope of our guidelines to state. But that's an operational issue. But having them published, that should still be a burden of an obligation of the registry. However, they will solve it.
Yeah, well, I agree that we should ask registries to submit their tables to the
Carl, are you there? Can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, but we lost Carl.
I can hear you, Matt.
Yes.
And I joined shortly.
Yes. Welcome, Edmund.
So while Carl figures, I'd like to be added to the queue.
Pardon me?
I like to speak while Carl is now
yes.
able to.
Yes, please.
So
that is.
I think one. Yeah, thank you, Matt. So I think one way to look at this, this is an opportunity, right? Opportunity to see this in a different way. Perhaps if we break it down, what we're trying to achieve is, for one thing, this working group wants the tables to be published in a certain format, the LGR format, right, which is different from what registry operators are accustomed to. And now we have IANA, which is the responsible for managing and publishing the tables. They are far more capable to do this transition for the registry operators in a more efficient way, and they're offering that. I think that's a good opportunity to pursue, at least to fully understand what their capabilities and commitment is. And if that's something they're really can do, then we should not waste, let me put it that way, lack of a better word, but take on that offer and accept it. We are solving the problem. The tables will be published in LDR format. We will have a organization on an operator that is, will be far more efficient because they will see this thing every day. And as they do it every day, their learning curve will increase and therefore productivity will increase. Whereas if you put this burden into registry operators, they will have to learn how to use this RFC format and do it once every, right? It's not going to be that frequent that registry operators have to do tables. And every time it will be a pain to produce these tables in the RFC format when you have the chance that a far more advanced and effective operator can do this on the registry's behalf. It's going to be still the registry operator table, so if a label is deemed valid based on the table and in the registry systems is not valid, then there you have an inconsistency and registry operators still are on the hook for explaining that inconsistency, right? We're not taking away the responsibility of what the table produces. So it's just the format. And since Ayana is offering to do that, let's pursue and make that happen.
Partly agree with you. I mean, Ayana does not offer that to us. It offers that to the registry operators. So that is a fine service. If IANA does that to the registry operators, but that is something outside our scope. What we should state is that the registry operator publishes the table in LGR format, so that the registry operator is responsible for, firstly, that the LGR format is used for the publication, and secondly, that the registry operator is responsible for the content of the table. If the registry operator submits a text table and then IANA do some conversion to LGR, that will be an IANA table created from the text table, and the registry operator can say, well, it's not ours. I mean, IANA did that, and we didn't inspect it since we don't understand LGR anyway, so we cannot inspect it. So I don't think it's a good idea to leave this, and because IANA says, and there is no obligation from IANA, so IANA can change its mind if it discovers that it's too burdensome. And thirdly, we do not get the full effect of LGR if the tables are only published at IANA. We don't get the spread of LGR. I think we want more of LGR than just having it converted by IANA and stored there.
But
so, Yes.
Now, sorry.
Go ahead, Dennis.
I want you to elaborate on that point you just made, that we don't benefit from all the LGR has to offer. But the only thing that we're asking registry operators to do in the current guideline is to publish them. That's it. No more. So I'm curious about what you're thinking, what we're asking registry operators to do, as opposed to what we are actually asking the registry operators to do. It's only publishing, nothing more, right? It's just an output format.
Yes, that's the only thing that we can require from them. But if they start handling LGR themselves, I see a good chance that they also would start using LGR, not just publishing.
So, Matt, this is Carol. I think it's very unlikely
that
registry operators will, in fact, use LGRs because it's not representative of what their systems contain. So LGRs will always remain an output format only for registry operators. It's effectively a tax on an IDN service today. And if we can remove that requirement and have IANA publish those in the appropriate format, which IANA seems willing to do, let's make use of it. And I think I might have been hung up before I got to say this, but let's get Kim on one of our calls and we can put our concerns to him if we have concerns, and he can convince us that it's a good idea.
Yeah. But if we remove the requirement, there is nothing that says that this will happen more than an unobligated word from IANA. So then we have lowered the requirement of LGR. So I don't think it's a good idea. We can change the wording so that they can use the IANA service for the conversion. I see no problem of that. But it should still be the obligation of the registry operator to have it published in LGR format. So if IANA does the service, what is the problem of having an obligation of the registry operator to publish it in LGR? Edmund, please.
Thank you. Sorry for joining late,
no problem.
Catch up with the conversation. Are we trying to make changes to the guidelines? Because what I'm hearing seems to be something that is outside of the guidelines that IANA would voluntarily help some of the, if registries are interested, they might help them just convert it and publish it. It seems like the conversation doesn't may have any effect on the guidelines themselves. Or did I miss something? Are we specifically looking at any area that we are looking to make changes to the guidelines at this point?
Yes. The proposal from Carl, as I understand it, is that we remove the requirement from the guidelines. So to remove the requirement that the tables are published in LGR format.
I see. That you mean, so if Carl can clarify that, that means even with the 18-month period, after the 18-month period, and also for only new tables that are to be published 18 months from now, you're suggesting to remove that entirely?
Yes, that's correct, Edmund. I spoke with Kim Davies earlier this week at IETF, and his reaction to the, the general resistance to the obligation, because the registry operators have been, certainly the Gs have been speaking to me and asking to have that removed, was that it was effectively irrelevant anyway, because he was more than happy to accept it in any format and then publish in LGR. So why require it and have a big argument about it when he was going to publish it in LGR anyway, and that would include the older tables as well.
Edmund here, if I can continue. At first reaction is that I think I kind of side with Matt on this particular point. As much as Ayana is interested to do that, and that's great, and they can probably, you know, there are already tools and all that, I think the guidelines as they stand are point to RFCs that are relevant to registry operations. I understand I have also had chance to talk to registries and understand those concerns, but I think it is relatively trivial for any competent registry to be able to do that. So I think for in a policy level, although this is not purely policy, but on a level at ICANN, I think it is good housekeeping to embrace those RFCs that we have put together. And I think they're quite robust and strong ones. So unless it's really dramatic reason, I think especially at this point in the discussion of the guidelines, I like for it to remain without, you know, that I would think as a pretty big change to the guidelines. And we're nearing the end of finalizing it, and if it doesn't really impact registries that much, and Ayana is willing to do that, I'd rather keep it in the guidelines than take it out. That's, I guess, my personal opinion.
And what about reply, Carl?
I'll reply, and then I think we should move on, because I think Kim can probably speak for himself if we wish to invite him. The feedback I've received from many registry operators, including the large ones, is that it isn't a trivial implementation, and again, it's just an output format. So I think the perception that it's a minor requirement that we're adding to them is something I would challenge. There are significant challenges associated with moving to LGR. And while it's, I think, good for the consumer, there's almost no value at all for the operator. So if we can take it away from the operator, then that's a good thing. And someone else is offering to do it for them, why not? And it would certainly lower the resistance to the guidelines in general from the registry operator community. It's probably the main question, the first question I get asked every time I speak to registry operators about the IDN guidelines.
But Carl, no one is against letting IANA do the conversion for the registry operators if IANA offers to do that.
I think unless we want to come up with a very complex legal document, we don't want to be obligating operators to do something that IANA does because there is no contractual relationship. IANA has a contractual relationship with ICANN, and the IDN repository or the practices page falls outside the naming contract and its IETF protocols registry contract. So we've already, I guess there's a precedent in these guidelines that we've already asked people to do something that is not covered by a contract. So there's no difference in allowing operators to make use of that service without putting some kind of unenforceable requirement inside these guidelines.
Let me jump in.
Yes, please, Edmund.
Okay, thank you, Thank you for clarifying that, Carl. I am interested to. I think it's probably useful to think about this particular topic as in, you know, when the LGR formats were created. In fact, it was initiated by this community, and I'm pretty sure a number of the registry operators also participate in the process at IETF, and it's a little bit surprising that they find converting text document into a pretty straightforward XML format that challenging. But I hear you, and I don't want to dispute the fact that you brought out. In that case, then I guess the you know, we really need to talk about why we think we want to promote, if you will, the adoption of this RFC, and perhaps what the larger direction that ICANN is taking in IDNs and so on. One of the things that I want to, you know, the reason why I bring this up is, let's say, we are talking about a number of the existing GTLDs that have resistance. Do we think that this is a reasonable requirement for, let's say, the next round of new GTLDs? And if we answer that question, then we can probably come back and see what we should do with this round or, you know, the existing GTLDs. So my immediate thinking is that the next round is probably makes sense to, you know, in the requirements to actually require that. And, you know, of course there is a subsequent working group and it's probably not going to be within that scope. It's going to probably be in the implementation of the applicant guidebook or whatever it will be called. So perhaps, I don't know whether Samad is on because, I can't see.
No, Samad is not on. No.
Then perhaps we might want his input into this, because if it's going to be required, you know, it's likely going to be one of those things that's required in the next round, then we should think about what happens in between now and then and into the future for consistency. I think that's something, you know, that's probably a good way to think about this issue.
Yeah. We don't know anything about the next round, but I think it's likely that LGR will be required, because that is the only format that contains all necessary information. So the text formats require additional prose that defines additional information, and they are not good. So I think it's likely. And secondly, if IANA does conversion of tables, then there will be example tables that register operators and RSPs can use to create their tables, and they can see. I mean, this is that table is just as ours, besides that we have some additional character. It's quite simple to do that update. The XML format is not unknown to registries in general. So this will not be rocket science for the registry operators. And if we want to see the tables in the IANA repository, then the only thing we can do is to have a requirement on the registry operators that can solve that problem with the help of IANA if needed. So it's very good that IANA offers a conversion service to the registry operators. It doesn't mean that we should change the requirement in the guidelines.
I'm coming into the queue, please.
I'll let Dennis go and then I'll speak.
Yeah, so yes, great question. And one way, I mean, we know IANA responds to ICANN and ICANN to the ICANN board. So can a possibility be to this working group, when we present these guidelines to the ICANN board, one of the recommendations is to ICANN board mandate IANA to put in place a service for racer operators to transform text tables to LGRs, and that way we make IANA do it.
I think it's, I mean, if IANA has the capacity to do and offer such transformation, I think it's great if they do it, because that will help the registry operators and kickstart this transformation of IDN tables. I assume that you mean if we leave the recommendation as is in the guidelines, and then on the side we recommend ICANN that they mandate IANA to offer such service. I think that's a really brilliant idea.
If I could just...
Colin?
I wanted to say something else, but I'll just speak on that quickly. To do that, ICANN would actually have to renegotiate its contract with PTI IANA. So it's not... this particular service has been left out of the collection of contracts that were established when they separated and left the Department of Commerce. It was an oversight, and no one can actually understand why that is, but it's certainly the situation right now. So that won't be as simple as people might imagine. It might be outright rejected by the board because of its complexity. Having said that, ICANN does have their own...
Specifically on this after...
ICANN does have their own conversion tool, which I believe they're going to open source. So there probably isn't much of a need to have IANA as an enforced converter, because ICANN will be supplying tools to do this. But my thoughts on obligating registry operators to publish these in a certain format, I don't think either the current round or the next round of GTLDs will differ, because, as I said, it's not how the tables are represented within a registry. So we're only talking about a publishing format for consumers, and we're writing guidelines for the producers. So it would be just as, inappropriate in the next round as it is in this round to place an obligation on registry operators to output in a particular format when the publication will be made by IANA, who will choose the most appropriate format based on their requirements. If 7940 is updated, for example, then that'll be up to IANA to publish in a new format. It shouldn't be up to registry operators.
Well, I think that it's obvious that we have a different opinion in this matter. Carl, it's 1:45 to whatever hour you are in. Are you still in London? So it's 11:45. So can you still participate or?
Yes, I actually do need to run, because they're about to talk about KSK rollover. So I'll need to leave. I think we should defer this conversation perhaps to when Kim can be on as well. Apologies for taking up the time.
Well, no. On the contrary, I think it's very good that you have taken up the time. So I'm really glad that the issue has been raised. I don't think that having Kim on the meeting changes anything. So I don't think it's needed to ask Kim to participate, because that is not the issue. We believe that IANA is capable of doing the services. He has told that. We know that there is no obligation, so it's best effort service, and that is what we should consider when we decide. But I think we should defer to another time when you are participating, Carl. So next meeting, are you able to participate then?
He
have called
off.
Over the left? Okay.
He may have dropped off, but I think that it's probably a good idea. This is Edmund. I'll just add quickly, and then, you know, we'll probably should move to something else or whatever. As Carl mentioned, there is a tool already, and I think that's you know, pretty simple to use. The other thing is the way that I really see it is it's more about standards compliance, because this is a relevant RFC. So, you know, that's that the registries are supposed to abide by relevant standards. So I think, you know, that's really the area that we should focus on. But it would be useful for Sama to join us to shed some light on, because I think both the many language panels, the generation panels for the root LGR, is obviously required to produce materials in LGR format, and I will find it very strange if registries are not even, you know, held to that minimal standard to operate an IDN compliant registry. So anyway, so I'll stop there, and then we should definitely come back to this when Carl is back.
Hi, I would like to put myself in the queue.
Yes, Peter, then please.
Okay. I think the question here is more like whose obligation it is for publish the LGR, the IDN tables. And I think it's not only the format, it's also the obligation to the content itself. So adding on Edmund's point, when we are working with the root zone panels, some of the script panels, they require us, like Samad and me, to convert the XML format in some part for them. We help them doing so using the tools that we have, and then we submit back to them, so that they can do the final check, and they have to do the final say, like, this is the correct content that they want. They can come in and use the tool as the testing tool with the corpus if the rules is acting like the way they meant to be. So in a way, obligation is still with the GP. I think this probably be something similar. So if we say we publish the tables in LGR format in IANA, no matter who do the table, it's probably good to still have the registry operator be the one who say this is the correct content and in the LGR format. So that's my input.
Thank you, Peter, and I think you put it very well. So I agree with you. How difficult it is for registry operators to do the conversion depends on the table. In some cases, it will be very simple, and in other cases, it will be quite complex. But I think it's important that the registry operator is in charge of the content, so we can rely on that. So we promised Carl that we shouldn't continue this discussion while he is away. I hope that he will be able to join next time. But I'd like to hear Satish, Dennis, and Edmund.
Thank you.
I have spoken.
Thank you, Max. This is Satish. It is a very interesting conversation, and the only point that strikes me is that throughout the public comment process, there has been no feedback saying that this obligation is excessively burdensome for the registries. So I'm surprised that at this point we are hearing feedback that it is a problem for them to comply with this. I'm wondering where it has come from. That's all. Thank you.
Satish, I mean, if we look at the feedback from the RYSG, they actually ask that that it is not mandatory to publish the tables in LGR format. We have discussed
that's true, but we had given them this extended time frame for them to comply, and I was under the impression that the issue was kind of closed, but it seems to be resurgent. So anyway, it's interesting, and maybe we should talk to the AINA people to also hear their side of this whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you. When we discussed our RYSG's comment, then we concluded that publication in LGR format is too important to let it be an optional feature. So, but we saw that it's reasonable to get them time, to let them have time. So we gave them the 18 months time to meet the requirement. I think that, I mean, we have only 9 minutes left. I don't think that it's that useful that we start a new discussion, actually. I suggest that we close this meeting 9 minutes early this time, and that we start afresh next week. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. One thing though, for next week, we should plan out our schedule. We in our meeting at San Juan, we kind of tried to set a target to have this published or done by Panama. So let's, you know, put out a little bit of, look a little bit at the schedule and see where we need to do what. But next time.
Yes, thank you very much, Edmund. That's a good suggestion from you. Let's take that as the first bullet in next week. Pete, and then do you think we will have the this Adobe issue solved by then? Do you have any idea how it looks like?
And if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Peterman? Okay. Yeah. Well, there's not much we can do. So let's assume that we only have this global meet and it requires additional installation if you want to use the computer. If you want to use the IP telephony system. Okay, thank you very much for today. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Right.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Have a good week. Bye.
Peter?